Hello and welcome back to Impacting the World. I'm Apostle Debbie Vick, and I want to thank you for joining me this morning. Let us get started with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1:9-14. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise and to give you all glory and honor. We praise you and glorify you for who you are, for what you've done, and how you've blessed us. Lord, we come before you this morning with these Colossians prayers, Colossians 1:9-14. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with full and deeper and clear insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, forbearance, with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you're qualified and made us fit to share the portion, which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. We've been looking at Luke chapter 11, where Jesus' disciples had made a request to Jesus for him to teach them how to pray, just as John taught his disciples how to pray. We looked at this account in verse 5, from verse 5 through verse 8, where Jesus shared spoke to the disciples through a parable, and he taught them about this parable where this friend had shameless perseverance. He went and insisted, was knocking on his friend's door because he needed some loaves of bread. He had nothing. We're told that he had nothing, and so he went to his friend's house and he was knocking and knocking on the door until the friend opened the door. In this account, what Jesus is teaching us is that if you don't immediately receive answers to your prayers, or you face a prolonged delay, you shouldn't allow yourself to become weary or lazy. You shouldn't give up, and so you should have shameless persistence. You need to continue to come before God, because his friend did not, he was determined in prayer. He was persistent and determined in his prayer, and was not ashamed. He continued to ask. He continued to knock on the friend's door, even though the friend had clearly refused or denied his request. But this example that Jesus is giving us is he's also teaching us that we need to approach God with great confidence and expectancy. Why? Because like in the case of this man, when he went to knock on his friend's house, the door of his friend's house, he fully believed that when he asked his friend for help, this guy would help him and give him what he needed. His plea was urgent, and so he could not go back empty-handed. And so, of course, initially his urgent request was initially met with a flat refusal, and he probably was shocked and surprised, because he never expected his friend to deny him. And so instead of turning around and going home without the bread that he was asking for, he continued to bang on this friend's door. He persevered. He kept making his demand until the door was open and his need was met. And therefore, Jesus teaches us so that, I say to you in verse 9 and verse 10, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find, knock, and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking, receives, and he who seeks and keeps on seeking, finds, and to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door shall be opened. So one of the things that hinders us in prayer is when we do not, we don't approach God with expectancy, confidence and expectancy, and when we give up too quickly after praying or after not receiving an answer if we prayed one day. And so it's important that we shouldn't give up. With this same type of shameless persistence, we need to continue to go before the Lord. We need to make our demands with increased intensity and faith until we receive the answer to our prayer. And this is the type of prayer that Jesus wants us to pray. He's teaching them that this is how you should pray. The prayer that refuses to faint or grow weary. This type of prayer is motivated and sustained by a faith that will not let go. Amen. And so it's like I mentioned yesterday that it's like a wrestling in prayer. It's not, you know, it's an inward force. This wrestling in prayer, it's really the intercession of the Holy Spirit. When the Bible talks to us about how the Holy Spirit, when we pray in the Spirit, He takes over and He begins to groan through us. We utter words that we don't even understand it. You know, He prays and searches the deep things of God. And so it's called, we can also call it a holy wrestling, the ability to lay hold on or press in and wait in faith until the answer is manifested. It's, you know, taking hold of God Himself. This is the type of prayer that we are required, or Jesus is teaching His disciples how to pray. And it's the type of prayer that, you know, we are required to pray. Amen. And so in another account, in the book of Luke, again, Jesus teaches another, way. He's also talking again about being, you know, persevering in prayer. And so let's go to Luke 18, Luke chapter 18, and look at this account where Jesus is teaching about perseverance in prayer. But this is one of the major hindrances in our prayer lives when we don't persevere. This is what causes us to not receive the breakthroughs that we are desiring. So in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8, and I'll read from the Amplified Version, it says, also Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary. And for a time he would not, but later he said to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me or assault me or strangle me. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not our just God defend and protect and avenge His elect, His chosen ones who cry to Him day and night? Will He defer them and delay help on their behalf? I tell you, however, when the Son of Man comes, will He find persistence in faith on the earth? And so here it's also talking about, you know, the same thing like we saw in Luke 11. Jesus is teaching about perseverance or persistence in faith. We need to persevere in our prayers. Now, perseverance is a powerful dynamic of the will and spirit. You need it if you hope to overcome every obstacle and receive the answers to your prayers. Jesus said that we are to pray and not to faint. He opened up verse 18, Luke 18, chapter 1, by saying, also Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. So we are supposed to pray always and not to faint. And we are to pray with such a holy boldness that we will not give up until we receive the answer. So he's repeating himself. So for Jesus to repeat himself, that means this is really, really important for us to understand. And so he says that if we, you know, we need to pray with such holy boldness so that we don't give up, we don't lose heart, we do not turn coward or faint. Amen. And so that's, you know, and basically, don't give up until you receive the answer. Now, if you don't receive the answer the first time that you pray for it, go back the second time. If you don't receive the answer the third, the fourth, or even the 100th time, well, basically, he's saying persevere in faith until you receive it. You see, our Father, He desires for us to draw near to Him with a strong tenacity and determination that will not give up by any seeming refusal or delay on His part. Now, and I've said it before, that, you know, you don't have to pray for the same thing twice because, you know, it shows a lack of faith. However, it is true that Jesus, in Mark 11:24, He taught that when you pray, believe that you have received what you have asked for. He says, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So that's in Mark 11:24. Well, it's not a lack of faith if you're asking in faith, or if you continue to keep asking until you receive your answer in faith. But it's not repetitive. You don't keep going back to God as if He didn't hear you the first time, but you continue to ask of that same thing, but you're not repeating yourself. You're going in a different approach, and I taught that yesterday. And so if you look closely at Jesus' teaching, you'll see that there'll be times when you must pray repeatedly until you get your answer. So there are certain situations that you'll deal with, just like from the Word of God, that there are times, and Jesus taught that, there are times you don't pray, you just decree and declare a thing, and it shall be established unto you. There are times you speak to situations. For instance, He taught that, you know, when He was teaching about faith, He said, if you have faith enough, and you can speak to a mountain and command it to move, and it shall hear you, it'll be moved, and you shall have what you say. So He's telling us that sometimes you have to speak to Him. He showed us an example when He spoke to the fig tree. He didn't pray about it. He didn't pray to the Father. He spoke to the situation. So there are certain things in our lives that we are going to experience. There are certain challenges that we're going to face. It's not always a one-way street where it's just pray, pray, pray. Sometimes you have to speak to that situation and command it to do what it has to, you know. So if there's a mountain, you know, an impossible-looking situation in your life to reverse, or you know, sometimes you can even speak to your body, command your body to line up with the Word of God, you know, so you speak to that situation. Yes, you can pray for healing and declare healing over yourself, but because we know, you know, when we pray for healing, it's like saying, well, I don't know if it's God's will to heal me, but we know that it's God's will to heal. And so because Jesus has already borne our sins and our sicknesses, and so by His stripes we were healed, so we know that we are already healed. So all you can do is to decree and declare that you're healing and speak it over your body and, you know, begin to experience that healing. It command your body to line up, you know, you can declare the Word of God over yourself and see that Word come to pass. So, yes, you can be prayed for, but mostly in the Bible, Jesus didn't teach us to pray for the sick. Only in the book of John, in the book of where it says, if anyone is sick, let the elders come and anoint him with oil, and the prayer offered in faith. So, again, it has to be offered in faith. But Jesus didn't say, go out and pray for the sick. He said, go out, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So He gave us, he told us to lay hands on the sick for them to recover, you know, but He didn't say, go out and pray for all the sick. So we have to be, you know, mindful of the instructions that Jesus gave. And so in this parable, coming back to this parable of this unjust judge and the widow, in Luke 18, verse 1 through 8, Jesus stresses the need to have shameless persistence when you pray. Basically, what He's stressing here is refuse to give up. Refuse to give up. And so Jesus uses a widow to emphasize a deep level of need. You know, a widow during that time often had no family or other resources that she could depend upon. And so you can imagine that the widow in this story had probably reached, you know, with no one to turn to for help. She went to this unjust judge to plead her case. And in King James Version, it says, avenge me of my adversary. Here, in Amplified, it just says, protect and defend me and give me justice against my adversary, which is the same thing. And so, initially, the widow's cries fell on deaf ears. The unjust judge refused to do anything to help her. Now, it doesn't say how much time passed, but the widow did not give up. When I look at this, I'm thinking, you know, she didn't go to, you know, she kept on going. You know, he is a judge, and he didn't reverence or fear God, and she kept going to him. And, you know, I don't think she was going to his house, but I believe she was going to his office, you know, to his courtroom. He's a judge, and so she's probably showing up in his courtroom all the time, requesting for him to give her help to avenge all the adversaries. So she's probably showing up every day, and maybe not only once a day. Maybe she's showing up in the morning. She comes back in the afternoon. You know, whenever the court is open, she's there. You know, every single day he keeps seeing her in his courtroom. You know, that's just like you and I going before the Lord, requesting, entering the heavenly courtroom and requesting for help. And so this is what this woman did. I don't believe she went to his house. But again, like I said, we're not told how much time passed. But what we know is that she did not give up. She had no one else to turn to. And so she with a shameless persistence and determination, kept on banging on the on this man's door, not going into his courtroom and showing her face there each time and asking for his help until he couldn't take it anymore. So even if she, you know, she probably wasn't banging on his door like the other guy who went to his friend's house in Luke 11 to bang on his door. But I'm sure she would always show up, and he couldn't ignore her because she was in the courtroom, you know. And so she kept on going and showing up every time, showing up in his courtroom. And so he got to the point where he couldn't take it anymore. He had had enough. And we see in verse 4 and verse 5, it says, and for a time he would not, but later he said to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by a continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me or assault me or strangle me. Amen. And so we see here, this woman was wearing him out. She broke through his initial resistance by persevering. Amen. And so in this parable, Jesus was not saying that God was reluctant to answer our prayers. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. He was actually teaching us to be like the widow. He wanted us to steadfastly persevere in prayer until we receive our answers. You see, what he's basically teaching us is to go to God in a state of being totally dependent upon him. You can't have plan B if you're going to go to God and totally depend on him. You see, the widow woman, she didn't have a plan B. She needed to, the only plan, you know, was to go to this judge. She had no one else to help her. Remember I said back in that time, a widow often had no family or other resources that she could depend upon. So she didn't have anybody. She couldn't go to a bank. She couldn't go anywhere else. You know, she couldn't even probably go to the police. You know, so the only person that could help her was this judge. And so she kept going to the only person she knew she could get her help from. She was totally depending on this judge to give her the verdict of victory, to protect her, to defend her, and give her justice against her adversary. He was the only one that had the authority and had the resources to do that. And so Jesus is teaching us in the same way that we need to go to God in a state of being totally dependent upon him. You see, if you go to God with a plan B in mind, then you're not totally 100% dependent on God. You have to depend on God. Your life must depend on it. God, if you don't come through, you know, this reminds me of the three Hebrew boys that said to the king that, you know, you could throw us in the fiery furnace, but the God that we serve, He will deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us, O King, we will still not bow down, you know, to worship your idol. You know, so they were refusing. They were being forced into idol worshiping, and they refused. And the people conspired against them so they could be thrown in. So when behind the king's back, gave them, you know, told the king, you know, some, you know, lies about these guys, and made the king, first of all, they made the king, you know, sign a decree to say to somebody, if there was found one person who doesn't bow down to this idol that they had erected for the king, then, and worship it, then that person would be thrown into the fire furnace. Well, these three Hebrew boys, you know, they were, you know, so, I mean, they depended on God. They were in the things of God. They couldn't serve anybody else but God. And so they weren't going to do that. They weren't going to be forced into serving or worshiping an idol. They were not going to compromise their faith. And so they would rather have been thrown into the fiery furnace than to bow down and worship this idol. And so here we find that this is also, you know, to show you that these guys were dependent 100% on God. When the king said, well, now turn the furnace 7 times hotter, these guys were not moved. And they actually said to the king that, you know, the God that we serve, we know that he is able to deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us, we are still not going to bow down. And so this is the place where you have to reach to say, Lord, I am totally 100% dependent on you to help me in this situation or to deliver me in this situation. And even if you don't deliver me, Lord, you know, I am not going to stop serving you. I am not going to stop worshiping you because you haven't delivered me, because you've already done so much for me anyway. But I am totally 100% dependent on you. My eyes are upon you. I don't know what else to do. I have nowhere else to go. My eyes are dependent on you and you alone, and I'm going to wait upon you. I refuse to give up because my help comes from you and you only. And so you have to get to that place where if you perish, you perish. You know, but you're dependent on God. And you see, the thing about it is, if you get to that place of saying, Lord, I'm going to wait upon you indefinitely, well, you won't be waiting too long, because God is not going to allow you to be moved, or he's not going to allow the enemy to have the upper hand. He's not going to allow you to fall. He's not going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to let you down. In fact, Jesus said he's with us all the time, you know, and so it's important for us to understand that, you know, that we have to get to that place where we say, Lord, I depend upon you and nobody else. I'm totally 100% dependent upon you. You've got to recognize that God is the only one who can truly help you. There's nobody else out there in the world that can help you like God. God is the only one who can truly help you. Also, know that God has bound himself by his word to answer our prayers. He has bound himself by his own word to answer our prayers. And so when you pray this type of pertinacity until you have what you've been asking him for, you'll see that things will begin to manifest. Now, Jesus explains the parable in verse 6 through 8 by saying, the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth? Amen. And so what Jesus is saying here is that if an unjust judge who neither feared God nor regarded man would respond to the persistent cries of one widow whom he didn't even know, how much more will God respond to you and I, his chosen one, his beloved children who persistently pray to him? You see, God sees you. He sees me. He sees us in our time of need. But he wants us to exercise our faith. We're told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we need to exercise our faith, pray with a stubborn refusal to quit asking. You know, we can't quit asking. We need to pray, you know, regardless of the obstacles that are in our way. And when we do that, God will honor our faith by granting our request. You see, God is looking at our faith. He's looking more for how we approach it. Are we approaching him in, you know, are we approaching him in faith, or are we just approaching him anyhow? It's important, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we must approach God. In fact, the Bible tells us that he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So we know that God rewards those who diligently seek him. He's not just a God who has no desire to bless us. No, he's a God who rewards those who diligently seek him. So if we're diligently seeking the Lord, there is a reward waiting for us. But not only do we just diligently seek, we have to go before the Lord with, you know, in faith. The Bible says to go before him in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. So this morning, I'd like us to finish off today's teaching by praying. We'll continue with looking at the different hindrances next week by the grace of God. However, this morning, I'd like us to go to Psalm 121 so that we can pray Psalm 121. I know that there are many who are out there today who might have a situation or a great need, and it feels like you can't pray anymore. You feel like you've reached the end of the road and you don't know what else to do. Well, you can always go to God and totally depend on him 100%. And so in Psalm, I want to use Psalm 121. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills around Jerusalem, to sacred Mount Zion and Mount Moriah. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip or to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand, the side not carrying a shield. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning. When we thank you because you are our helper. You are our keeper. You do not sleep. You watch over us continually, and you keep us from all evil. You watch our going out and our coming in, both now and forevermore. And so, Lord, we say thank you because you are our source. There's no one else that we can look to. We totally 100% depend on you, Lord God, to meet every need that we children have, every challenge, every obstacle that is in our way. We ask that you'll move it all, Lord God. And we say thank you this morning, Lord God, for sending us help from your sanctuary. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who perfects the things which are concerning us. We give you the praise this morning, Lord God, for you have heard our cry. You have heard our prayers. And we declare that we are going to live a holy life before you and to please you in all that we say and we do. We ask, Lord, that you will search our hearts, reveal any sin or anything that may be displease you, Lord God. And we ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and teach us to walk in your ways. We thank you right now, and we receive every blessing that you have bestowed upon us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for perfecting everything that concerns us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us and sending us help from your sanctuary. Thank you for hearing our cry, and we give you all the glory and honor, knowing that we have victory in every situation that we are faced with today. We declare that victory is ours because Jesus has given us the victory. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. And it is in Jesus' mighty name with thanksgiving we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I pray you are blessed by this teaching. By God's grace, we'll speak again next week on Monday. Have a blessed and prosperous day. Bye-bye.